We begin the current daven, Seftes Gittin, Dav Pei Tes. We begin on the second line down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and from our Mishnah on the previous daf on Amud Beis, where the Mishnah described the halacha when there's a kol, when there's a rumor about a certain woman, let's say that she's engaged or that she subsequently got divorced. We consider that, and for halachic purposes as a stringency, we consider that as valid. And for example, if let's say there's a rumor that she was mukadeshes, she can't get married to anyone else. She can only get married to that individual or get divorced from him and then move on. But we seriously consider that in halacha. However, as we mentioned, and as we'll mention on today's daf, that is, but there's something called a shaver, which literally means to break, which could be translated as receipt, or an amasla, which is some type of a rationalization that undoes that rumor. When there is an amasla, then we don't have to consider the stringencies of that rumor. So in the related discussion, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, he says, Yatza law, if there's a rumor that goes out about a single woman in the city, that shame mizana be'ir. There's a word about her that she was mizana, that she had illicit relations with a non-Jew or with a slave, which, if she had such relations, would actually make her pasul from marrying a kohen, because that would give her the halachic status of a zayna. The pasuk says that a kohen cannot marry a zayna. So if she has such a rumor going out about her in the city, says Rava, ein chay shala, then we don't have to be concerned by that rumor, and she's not forbidden to marry a kohen. My time, what's the reason? So explains Rava, pritzusa bi'amahu dechazula. What really happened was, the reason why there was this rumor was because they saw her acting in what's called pritzus, in a breach of basic modesty. They saw her laughing in the street with this non-Jew or this slave, or he was pressing his hand between her breasts, which are inappropriate actions, and therefore people are making this rumor saying, oh, she was mezana with this man. But says Rava, that's not a full-fledged rumor, as we'll see, that to create a rumor has to be really a substantial evidence pointing towards the direction that rumor is true. Here, says Rava, that's not significant. For a woman to have that rumor about her that she was mezana doesn't take that much, and therefore, for halachic purposes, we don't consider her forbidden to marry a kohen. Now, the Gemara, however, tells us that ketanoi, actually it's a machlokes tanoim, because the Braisa teaches as follows. Achla b'shuk, if let's say people see a woman eating in the street, or girgur b'shuk, which that's double of gar, which comes from the word of groin, let's say they see her sticking her head up with her neck stretched out high in the air, or henika b'shuk, or if she's nursing in the street in the market. But kulon, in all these cases, Remeir says that's already inappropriate activities from a woman, and there's enough grounds to divorce her. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, he says no. He says, it's mishayisu v'yitnu ba meizris b'lavana. If the women who they spin their threads in the marketplace to the light of the moon, those are the types of women, they sit together, and they talk all types of idle banter and chatter, and they talk about all the suspected women and slander and gossip there in the street. When they're talking about this woman, did you hear what she did? That's a significant grounds to say, oh, she must have been doing something inappropriate. Then you divorce a woman. Now, Amar Allah Rabbi Yechim Anuri, Rabbi Yechim Anuri said to Rabbi Kiva, says, Im Kain, if that's the case, if that's your barometer, that's your acid test to say that that's enough grounds for a woman to be divorced because what people are talking about her in the street, then lo hinachta bas l'Avram Avinu, you're not going to leave over any room for a daughter from Avram Avinu, meaning a Jewish woman, sheyeshevet tachas baila, that will ever sustain the marriage with her husband, because everybody has enemies that will talk about them for no right, just making up things, just alluding to, because of different illusions that they heard something and they make a big thing out of it, and then the women are talking about it. If those are grounds for divorce, then most women are not going to even be able to maintain their marriage. So that's one reason why Rabbi Yechim Anuri disagrees. Moreover, he says, the Torah says in Devarim, what is grounds for divorce? It says, Ki motza ba'er vas davar, that if you're going to find something inappropriate with regarding intimacy that she has with other men. Now, it used the word ervas davar. Now, ul halanu oimer, there's another pasuk in Devarim that says, api shnaim edim, oy api shloisha edim yakum davar. That what creates the sustainability of davar, of a thing, is when there's two witnesses or three witnesses. So says Rabbi Yechim Anuri, mala halan davar bar, just like over there when it says the thing, it was something that was clear because you have two or three witnesses. Afkan davar bar. Here also when it grounds for divorce because of arayas, it's not just enough like Rameir said because she's just eating in the street, or like Rabbi Akiva said, because people are talking about her. It has to be, and this is what we said, it's a machlokes tanoim, like Rava said, where it can't just be something inappropriate she was doing so the word was getting out about what the types of things that she's doing. It has to be something almost like when you have two witnesses, not exactly, but we'll see when there's circumstantial evidence that are pointing towards it, and it's clear, that's when we'll consider it an appropriate level of a koil, then we would say it's grounds for divorce. But just because of people talking or because that she's eating in the street, that's not enough grounds for a divorce. And like Rabbi said, regarding the halach of a koil, it would have to be something substantial, not just when she's acting pretzis, and so the people are saying, oh, she was mezana with that slave, with that non-Jew. So to the Gemara brings Tarnabon, learn the Braisa. So let's say there was a rumor that went around about a virgin, about a woman that was never intimate with a man. That word got out was that she's a ba'ula, that she's not a virgin anymore. Says the Braisa, ain chayshin la. We're not concerned for it, which what would be the halachic relevance of that, that she would be forbidden to marry a kohen gadol. A kohen gadol has to marry a basula. We're not concerned for that rumor, because again, maybe people just saw her acting in the way of preetzes, so they're saying, oh, she's not a basula anymore. But again, like Rava said, and we see the same idea in this price, so we're not concerned for that. Now, as Rashi points out, although that we did learn in the Mishnah that we are considered for rumors, when, for example, that we said in the Mishnah, let's say word gets out that she's mukadashis, we are going to be concerned that she's mukadashis and she can't marry anyone else but that man. That, as the Gemara will shortly explain, when there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, when there's candles that are lit and people coming in and saying this woman is engaged, that's what's called Devarim Nikarim. It's obvious that this is true to some level. Then we're concerned for a rumor, but just a random rumor saying that a woman's not a basul anymore, that we're not concerned for that. So too, the Braisa continues with many examples like this. Let's say, regarding a single woman, there's a rumor that she's a nesua. Now, this is different than the case of our Mishnah, as Rashi points out, meaning to say that the rumor is that she has been married for many days already. But we know, which is based on the Chazakah, the presumptive state that she was in up until now was we knew that she was single. Now we're suddenly hearing that, no, she was married already for a year. Same idea, says the Braisa, in Cheshon Lo. We're not concerned for that. Because as Rashi points out, when regarding the koil of our Mishnah, that was of, let's say they said that today she got engaged. So that could always change. The Chazakah is only what we know up until now. But from here on, things could always change. So if we hear a rumor that she's engaged, okay, that might be true. We have to be concerned for that. But here the rumor was that she was married. She was married. What does that mean? We always knew that she was single, so we don't have to be concerned for that. So too, if let's say Arusa, let's say rumor got out that she had been engaged already 6 months ago, let's say. Says the Braisa, so too, in Chayshon Lo. We're not concerned from that. Our Chazakah tells us that we knew she was single. We don't have to be concerned for the future, yes. And that's the case of the Mishnah, but that something like that had happened, our Chazakah tells us that she was never engaged, and therefore we don't have to be concerned for that. So too, let's say Shaloi Leploini, which literally means to say, not for that person, which let's say there was a rumor that went out that she got engaged today, but it didn't say, the rumor didn't say who she's engaged to say it was to that person. It just says words going around that she's engaged. Says the Braisa, in Chayshon Lo. Again, it's not substantial enough. It has to be, as our Mishnah spoke about, and as we'll talk about, very clear, direct rumors. Those are rumors that we're concerned for. So to, if let's say, Bi'er Acheres, let's say there's word out that today this woman got engaged in another city, in another place. Again, in Chayshon Lo, we're not concerned for that because it's not clear. Where, when, we don't know what's going on in another city, and therefore we don't have to be concerned for that. Let's say there's rumor about a woman that she's a mamzeris, that she's an illegitimate child, meaning that her parents were a forbidden union and she was born for that. Again, ain chayshon lo, we're not concerned with that again because that runs counter to the chazakah that we had up until now, that she was not a mamzeris, that she was a full-fledged Jewish woman. Let's say that she's a shifcha, that she's a maidservant. Again, ain chayshon lo, we're not concerned with that to say that this regular Jewish woman is really a maidservant. Let's say there's a rumor that hikdish plain in the chasab. This guy made all his whole estate kaidish lashem, gave it over to the base of mikdash to hekdash, or hifker plain nechasam, where the rumor is out that he declared all his properties ownerless. Again, says the Braisa, ein chayshon lahen, we're not concerned for those rumors to say that, let's say in the case of hekdash, that all his properties are forbidden on him, again, because we need what's called dava bar. Like we said in the previous halacha, it has to be clear. These things are not clear, and therefore that's not substantial enough of a koil to even be concerned for. Now the Gemara goes back to, so based on what we've been explaining, to clarify the halacha of our Mishnah, which obviously was concerned for Kohel. And yet here we're bringing all these cases when we're not concerned for these rumors. So what's the litmus test? So Amma Ulay says, Loisha Shamu Kohel Havar. And the halacha of our Mishnah is not just that the word is out that some type of an echo, we're just hearing like, oh, did you hear? And just like random people saying snippets of data. Ella, rather, has to be pretty clear. Kadeshiyu neiris dolkois. It has to be that the candles were lit, umitois mutsois, and their couches, their beds, which they used to use to recline on at the parties, were already spread out. Uvnei adam nechnasim v'yitzin v'aymrim. People are coming in and going out, and they're saying, plainis miskadeshasayim. You know what? This woman's getting engaged tonight. So that's pretty substantial. It's telling us that I see all the different things. The hall is set up, and everyone's coming in. Everyone's saying this. So that's a rumor that we'd be concerned for. Now, actually, on this, the Gemara says, Miskadeshes? The people are saying that she's getting engaged today? But Vidimalei Akhtesha, but maybe she didn't get engaged at the end. Why would that even be something we have to be concerned about if the rumor didn't even say she got engaged? So why would we stringently consider her Mukadeshes? So Amy rather says, the Gemara, say that plainness Niskachayim. Actually, what the people are saying is that this woman got engaged today. Regarding such a case, that's the halacha of our Mishnah that the Rabbanu were concerned for, that we don't allow her to get married to anyone else, so that people shouldn't say, wait a second, how is she getting married to someone else? She's an Eishes Ish. She was a married woman. Because we know the rumor was out that, and the hole was set up, and everyone's coming out and saying that she got engaged. So then we say, oh, then we got to be concerned for that. Until she gets, let's say, a get from that person. She can't go ahead and get married to someone else. And again, as we'll clarify a little bit more, that it's because of what people are going to say. People are going to say that this woman who is an Eishes Ish is getting married to someone else. That we can't allow. So therefore, we say that she would have to get married to that individual to do the next phase after Kedushin, Nisuin, or at least get a get from him and then can move on. V'chein tani Levi, so too Levi taught in his Braisa. The same idea. The halacha of our Mishnah is not enough just that there's some type of a rumor going about. Has to be that there are candles that are lit in the house, which was the custom when they would make a kedushin, which they would have joy and the light of candles, as the Gemara says in general, like in Sanhedrin, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, that having candles lit adds to the air of festivity. Umites mutzos, and there's beds that are spread out. V'nashim tovus l'haner, and that the women are spinning their threads to the light of the candle, u'smechus l'haner, they're rejoicing with her, v'aymers, and they're saying, plainness miskadesh l'sayim, this woman is getting engaged today. That is substantial rumor that we would be concerned for. So the Gemara asked the same question we said before, miskadeshes? What, that sounds like that she's going to get engaged today, but v'dim alakdesha, maybe she didn't even get engaged. Why would we even have to be stringent and say that she can't marry anyone else? But why are they going to say she's an Asia sister? They'll say that maybe she never even got engaged. Maybe she backed out at the last second or something happened. So my papa, he says, Ema rather say plainness niskachayim. What people were saying was that she got engaged today. That's pretty substantial. That's a call we're concerned for. So to Amar Abba B'chan Amar B'yechanan, he says, Leisha shamu kailavar, it's not just that you hear some type of a rumor going around. Elekadeshiyu neiris dolkois umites mitzois. That the candles were lit and the couches were spread out, uvenei adam nechnasa v'yaitzin, and people were coming in and going out. Now he explains, as we said before, amru davar, if they say something, in other words, if they say that this woman got engaged today, so zehu kal. So that's the type of a rumor that we're concerned for. Loy amru davar, but if they didn't say anything, then zehu amasla. So why aren't they saying that, oh, did you hear, did you hear? And no one's saying anything, they're just coming in and going out. So that would be what's considered an amasla, which is from the word of mashal, which is a way of, it's something that breaks the rumor. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned for the rumor of that situation. Now, the Gemara actually asks on his qualification, loy amru, they didn't say anything, but that's an amasla, but v'hala amru v'loy kum, but they didn't even say anything. In other words, if the people didn't say when they came in and out and the lights were lit, no one said, wow, she got engaged. So that's not that as if there's a rumor and that there's an amasla, but there's some type of a flaw in the rumor, there's something that's breaking the rumor, and then we don't have to be concerned for it. There's no rumor in the first place. Because the whole rumor is based on the fact of that people said that. And then an amasla would be something that maybe there was a condition attached to it that would break it. But here there's no rumor in the first place. Why is he calling this an amasla? Amasla is saying that there's a kohel, but this is breaking the kohel. It's something that's neutralizing the kohel. But here, in that case, the way he described it, there's no koil in the first place, and that's why she would be permitted to marry someone else. So the Gemara explains that lafuke midirab barav huna. What Rabbi Baruch Hanan was saying in Rabbi Yechanan was coming to exclude from Rabbi Barav Huna the Amad, because he says, as we'll learn in Amad Beis, amasla sha'amru, regarding this halach of our Mishnah, where we spoke about an amasla, which breaks a koil, he says, it's afil mekan va'ad yod yamim. It's even if, let's say, the amasla, which neutralizes, let's say there's a rumor going about a woman that she's engaged. But then the amasla says, but it was on condition. Oh, condition, okay, so then maybe the condition was never fulfilled. Therefore, we're not concerned for the rumor. She could get married to someone else because no one's going to say she's an HSH. Maybe it was never fulfilled. So Rabbi Rav Huna holds that even if, let's say, the rumor goes out one day that she's engaged, and only, let's say, 10 days later does the word get out, the amasla, that let's say there was a condition which breaks the koil, he says that's also going to be a valid amasla, and we don't have to be concerned with the koil anymore. Now, kamash malon, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching over here, that loy amru, that they didn't say anything, that's where hudahavya amasla, that's where it's going to be an amasla. In other words, that, what does it mean you didn't say anything? If you didn't say anything, then there's no koil to have an amasla on. Rather, the way what he meant to say was that they didn't conclude the entirety of the rumor to be a full-fledged, valid rumor, rather because with the koil, there was a shaver with it at the same time. So, for example, when the rumor goes out, it's, did you hear? She might have been engaged, which is kedushin b'safik, so that's not a full-fledged koil, that's not a dover, because it has an amasla with it. That's what Rabbi Bachan is explaining, that's what's going to be considered an amasla, because it's loy amru, they didn't say a full-fledged koil, because together with it was the amasla. But ha'amru, but if let's say they said a full-fledged rumor with no amasla attached to it, that's what he was coming to exclude, to say lohavi amasla, that will not be any more valid to be an amasla, let's say a few days later, up till 10 days, like Rabbi Barav Huna says, that would not be valid, because the amasla only works if it comes at the same time as the koil. If the rumor gets out that she's engaged, and only 10 days later does it come out, oh, and people are saying, oh, maybe it was on condition, I'm not so sure, then it's not going to break the koil. So that when he said the words, loy amru davar zeo amasla, it doesn't mean he didn't say anything. I mean, he didn't say a full-fledged rumor, because with the rumor came the amasla, that's an amasla. And that was coming to exclude from the halacha of Rabbi Rav Huna, where he says that even if it was a full-fledged koil, and only later did the amasla come, that it's a valid amasla, that's what he's coming to disagree and say that's not going to be valid. And halacha is an amasla, it's not going to break the koil, and we would still have to be concerned with the koil and say that she could only, let's say, get married to this person or require a get from him before she goes ahead and marries someone else. Similarly, the Gemara continues, Amrab Abba Amrav Huna Amrav. The halacha of our Mishnah that we're concerned for the rumor is not that we just heard some type of an echo, some type of a rumor going about this woman. Ella, Kadesh Yomi, rather it's that the people should be saying, Plaini Mehechen Shama. What? Where did this guy hear this from? Oh, Miplaini, from that guy. And Uplaini, you know where this guy heard it from? Miplaini, from him. That's how people do. They say, wow, really? Who said, and how did he hear? Who told him? Ubaidkin Vaholchen, and then they inspect and they go. They follow the chain going all the way back, until they reach the clarity that they say, that's really true, that must have happened, because Shimon heard from Reuben, and Reuben heard from Yehuda, and Yehuda from Yisachar, and he was the one that saw that this is what happened, that she got engaged. Now, the Gemara asks on this qualification of Rav Abba, Amar Rav Hun, the name of Rav, Dava Habar? What, you're telling me that you have to get back until you get back to a clarity? But the Ages Mal Yasuhu, that's not halacha, that wouldn't be the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a rumor. We have to be concerned. Where, as a stringency, we would say she can't marry anyone else until she gets, let's say, get from this person or gets married to this person. Because we just have to be concerned. But the way you just described it, it's a full-fledged testimonial where people are created a clarity, what's called five-finger clarity. It's like what the halacha of two witnesses are. So that wouldn't be the halacha of our Mishnah, because that would be clear, not just a rumor. So Eli Rav, the Gemara says, Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. He said that Amr Abba Abba Amr Rav Huna Amr Rav, he explained it differently. He said, Loi Shashamu Kol Avar. Again, the halacha of the Mishnah is not that you just heard a rumor. El Kadesh Shriyemi, rather that people should say, and this was similar so far, what the first version had said, that Plaini Mehechad Shama, where did this guy hear this from? Oh, Miplaini, from that person. Uplaini, where did he hear from? From Miplaini. But when you when they went all the way back to the source, had they come to the one who saw it, yeah, that would be Davar Bar. But the one that he heard it from, V'holchu lehem l'medina sayam. But the original people that they were the source, they went overseas, and we can't ask them, we can't verify it. That's where it's going to be a kaila, because we can't verify the last link, the one who actually saw the whole thing, who started the whole thing and told people. They were the ones that witnessed it. So that's where we're going to say that that's a kaila, because it seems to be very valid, because we have the chain of events going back to the original people. That's what's considered in our Mishnah a kaila. Again, just that people are saying things that we're not concerned for. And if you went all the way back and the people were there and they said, we saw, then of course that would be a vadai, that wouldn't be just a kail. So the kail is when the original people had gone overseas and we can't verify it with them. Now, related to this qualification, Amalei Abayi L'Rav Yosef. So Abayi says to Rav Yosef, let's say we hear a rumor coming out from women or children. So on that he wants to know, Mevat Linan Kala? Do we nullify a rumor? In other words, do we tell these women and kids to be quiet, to nullify the kail? Or do we not nullify? Do we not silence the people that are making this rumor? In other words, since we just qualified and we said that when it's a rumor where that they say that, oh, where did he hear from? He heard from her and her, she heard from him. And then we said that when you go all the way back to the source, they're not around anymore to ask them. They went overseas. Or actually even more, Rashi adds on. Let's say it's talking about where those people who were purported the ones who saw this whole thing, they actually finally came back from overseas, and they said what's called lahadam, loy hayu dvar me'olam, this never happened. We were the source of the rumors? I never saw this. So the question is that Abayi wants to know now is, since this is not really substantial, maybe yes, maybe if this is a rumor, we would have to be concerned, because actually, as we'll see in the Gemara, this whole halacha on the rumor is not really because we're concerned for it. It's just that we're concerned what people are going to say based on the rumor. If it's a substantive type of a rumor, which we're qualifying it has to be, then people are going to say, wait a second, she's Mukadeshes. How is she getting married to this other person? She's an Eshes Ish? A married woman's allowed to get married to someone else? So because we're concerned what people are going to say based on that rumor, so that's why we have the stringencies. But essentially, we're not really concerned for that. So what Abayi wants to know is, the problem really is, in a sense, is the rumor itself. That's what's causing the halachic stringencies that we have to do because what people are going to say based on that. So he wanted to know, do we tell people to stop making up the rumors, especially where if you go all the way back, there's no way of really substantiating it because either they're overseas or even the guy who came back said it never happened. So do we stop people from making the rumors and therefore we wouldn't have to have the stringencies, or do we not? Do we not do as a court and tell people to stop making rumors? So Amalei, so Rabbi Yisus said to Abayi, says, look, I'll tell you, from the factor of Chizda said that he said that the only way we're going to consider it as a valid quote koil, as a rumor to be stringent for it, is only if this chain that we spoke about, that we say that he heard from him and he heard from him and then he went overseas, it's only if that going all the way back to the people going overseas were valid witnesses. But if they weren't valid witnesses, even though there's a chain going back and back and back, then we don't have to be concerned for the rumor at all. So says Rav Yosef, obviously we see that the rabbis were lenient regarding the halachic interpretation of a rumor, that we don't have to be considering it as a rumor unless really there's valid witnesses saying, Reuven, we know he's kosher, he heard from Shimon, we know he's kosher, going all the way back. The main guy is there overseas. Okay, that's a valid rumor. So says Rav Yosef, Shema Menoh, what we could infer from there is that if at a later point in time we inspect and we find out that the whole rumor is false, then obviously mevetli nikala. Then obviously we nullify the rumor and we make an announcement to say that is not a valid rumor and we let her get married based on that, because we see that we're very lenient in pushing away the rumor, that it has to be pretty airtight, the rumor, for us to consider it as valid. Where, like Rav Chizda said, it has to be ksherim, the ones that are saying the rumor. So too, here where we find that it's false, we're going to push it away. We're not going to consider it as a valid rumor, and we let her get married. Now, on that, Omalei, Abayi responded back to Rav Yosef. He says, Adarabba, to the contrary. You brought me a proof from Rav Chizda, but I'll tell you, mid the Omer Rav Sheshesh, from the fact of what Rav Sheshesh said, afilim mipi noshim havakol. He says that the rumor is valid even if it's from women. Shema min alomivat linikala. Obviously, says Abayi, that we don't nullify rumor, because we see that actually we are very stringent with rumors, that it doesn't have to be just valid male witnesses, it could be even from women. So we're very liberal in our interpretation of the rumor. So too, even if we find that that's false, but if there's a rumor, then we have to be concerned for it, and we don't silence people. So Malay, so Rav Yosef responded, he says, you're right. asrevasa ninu, that actually the different places have different customs regarding if we are mevatel l'kol or not. And that is besura mevatel l'kol. In surah, they nullify the rumor. The Bezdin goes around and says, stop, stop making these rumors. It's not true. We checked it out. And don't say anything. Which, similarly, that should be the appropriate thing because there's nothing, there's no substance over here, and therefore we shouldn't make any stringencies. But in Narda, lo mevat lekalin. Let's see, places like Narda, they don't nullify the rumor, as we explained in the previous stuff, because the problem is people are going to start saying that, oh, the courts have an agenda over here. What are they doing? Why are they sticking up for these sinners? And because of that, Narda, the court doesn't get involved, even if they know that it's not a valid rumor. But since there is a rumor going around, then we're going to have, since there is substance to it, even though we really know that's nothing halachically significant, then we're going to have the halachas of our Mishnah that we have to, because people are going to say that she's engaged, and therefore we can't let her get married to someone else, again, because of what people are going to say. Now, the Gemara continues with a few stories related to these halachas. Hahi denafik oleha kal, the kala. There was a woman that there was a rumor about her, the ikacha labar beirav, that she had gotten engaged to a certain Talmudic scholar. So Asri of Chama Lavur, so Rav Chama came to the father of the girl, and Amalei, he said to the father, Emily Hecha Hava Uvda, tell me exactly what happened. There's word going about your daughter, she's engaged to this boy. Tell me what happened. So Amalei, the father said, Al Tanai Kaddish. Really, this boy engaged my daughter on condition. Adaita Delay Ozla Bechazoi, on the condition that he doesn't go to Bechazoi. Vazel, and he did go. So therefore, it's actually not a condition because he actually violated the conditions. So Amalei, so actually Rav Chama said to the father, Kivin de be'idna, de hava kala, la hava amasla. Since at the time that the rumor is going around, I heard about this from what people are saying in the street, there was no amasla attached to it. No one said anything about a condition the way you're telling me. Lav kol kaminach, de machzaks amasla. You're not believed to create this element of amasla to break the kol. Which, as Taisa says, that the terminology sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rabbi Bar Avuna, who said that the amasla would work even up till 10 days. It sounds like he's going like Rabbi Yechanan, who said that no, since at the time of the rumor there was no amasla, all we heard on the street was that he was engaged to your daughter, and no one said anything about a condition. You're the first one introducing this at a later point in time. We can't consider that as a shaver of the kail, and therefore we have to be concerned that she would have to get a gerushin from this boy if she would want to marry someone else because of the rumors, again, like the halacha of the Mishnah, where people are going to say that she's an Eishes Ish marrying someone else. Another story related to these halachas. Ahid denafik ala kala. There was a certain woman that there was word about her, the kacha batzipa de teichla, that she was engaged with this atzipa de teichla. What this is there are certain dates that didn't fully ripen and mature. So what they would do is they would put into these baskets that are made out of these palm fronds, and in those baskets they would ripen a little bit more. Now, however, since they weren't fully ripened on the tree, they would, when they would eat them, some of the date itself would still be stuck onto the date pit, which wouldn't be able to get up so well from the pit because it never fully ripened. That oichel is that little food that's left on the pit is called tzipa, which was used for animal fodder. So the rumor was that she was engaged from this boy from the little date that's left on the pit itself. And this was that she was, the rumor was that she was engaged, but ena de Beis Shifi, by the spring of that place of Beis Shifi. So Shalcha Rav Ida Bar Oven lekameda Abaya. So Rav Ida Bar Oven sent in front of Abaya, ki hagav namai. Regarding such a case, with such a rumor, what would be the halacha? So Amalei said to him, so he said that even according to the opinions that say that in general we don't nullify rumors and whatever the rumor is, we have to work with it and we have to act stringently based on that. But said Abai, in this situation, they would even agree that we would nullify the rumor. Why? The reason is because when this woman would then go ahead and get married to someone else, they would not say, and again, that's the primary concern over here, what people would say. They would not say, whoa, a married woman is marrying someone else. Because Meimer Amri, they would say, no, they would say, Ainu Bahu Rabbanim B'Kedushah. They would say that, oh, you know what probably happened? The rabbis analyzed this Kedushin, which this woman purportedly had the first time around, with this atzipa, with this little food that was left on the pits, V'lahava Bahu Shava Pruta, and it must have been that you didn't even have the minimum requisite of a Kedushin, which is at least the worth of a Pruta, the lowest denomination of a coin, which, because generally, no one considers that significant, the little food that's left on the date pit. Now, The reason is, again, as we said, the whole opinion that holds that we're usually not mevatel kail is only because of concern what are people going to say. And that's what Abaye said. In this case, they would even agree that there's no chashad because no one would suspect that she's a married woman because they would say, I know we heard about it, but who? You know, the rabbis figured out that that's not considered a valid kiddushin, and therefore no one would say that she's a married woman getting married to someone else, and therefore in that situation we would be mevatlin kala according to everybody. Another story the Gemara brings, Hahida nafek ala kala. Again, there was a woman that there was a rumor about her, the kacha that she got engaged as was kinyan on tamad beis l'chad b'mnei polanya, to one of the sons of that person, but they didn't say which one of the sons. Let's say there was eight sons. And the rumor went out, she's engaged to one of Shimon's sons, but the word wasn't which son it was. So Amar Rava, says, again, even according to the one that says dead in general, we don't nullify rumors, we got to really work with it, even though we shouldn't be concerned for it. But in this situation, we do nullify the rumors. Why? Because again, Meima Amri, people are going to say, not that she's a married woman getting married to someone else, they're going to say that, you know what probably happened? The rabbis looked into this kedushin. The kedushin cotton hava. And you know what it was? Yes, it was one of that man's sons, but it was a minor, and the minor's kedushin are not valid. And that's why she's marrying someone else, but not because she's an ashes. So therefore, since, again, we're not really concerned for the rumor, it's really what people are going to say. And since they're not going to say that she was an ashes, they're going to say the one who did the kedushin was a minor, and therefore there's no problem about her marrying someone else, and therefore we're not concerned, and we let her marry someone else, and we're not stringent for it as a kail. Another story, Hahid did not figure out color. There was a certain woman that there was a rumor about her, the kaddisha lekotan, that she got engaged to a minor in his years, meaning in his chronological age, he was young, but hanirika gadol, but his body looked like an adult. It was a very large child, but everybody knew who he was. So Amalei Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, "Have ubda." There actually was such an incident. V'amar, and they said, "Adayin lo higia le quote leflagus Reuven." He didn't reach to what the pasuk says of leflagus Reuven. What he was trying to say, as we'll see in a second, what the pasuk is talking about over there is that there's no wisdom for a minor in years. He doesn't have what's called chikri lev. He doesn't have the ability to have the same intellectual capacity as an adult. Shneim, like it says, the pasuk in Shaftim, which the literal translation of this pasuk was a rebuke of leflagus Reuven, when the tribe of Reuven had separated themselves from the rest of the other tribes. Gedolim chikri lev, which how great is the analysis of a person's heart? That's the literal translation, but the homiletical interpretation is that it's gedolim, it's adults, they have what's called chikrei lev. They have the insight of their heart, of their emotions, of their intellect. Now, what the contrast is over here, that this boy doesn't have what's called the flagus l'ruben, what the pasuk talks about over there, that even though his body is long, but people recognize that he's a young boy. Even though his body looks big, they could tell from his actions that he acts immature, he's not an adult yet. So therefore, when she's going to get married to someone else, people are going to say, yes, the rabbis looked into it and they realized that he's a minor. And therefore his kedushin doesn't have any halachic relevance. So even though he looks like an adult, and therefore that might have been some type of a concern regarding, oh, people are going to say she's a married woman. And that is what the Gemara is saying, that no, people recognize that he's immature. And even though his body looks big, he acts like a young boy. And therefore, everyone's going to know he was a minor, and therefore there's no concern to say that she was married because there's no kedushin l'katan, and therefore she can go ahead and get married, and we're not concerned for the koil. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, although we're concerned for a koil, but again, as we've been qualifying up until now, ubavat shalei teisham amasla, as long as there's no amasla, which comes from the root word of mashal, which means to say that there's some tam, which that's what a mashal does, it gives some understanding as an analogy, as a metaphor, as a parable, a simile, to just give an understanding of what it is. Here, if we have some type of rationalizations for the rumor that it's not necessarily true, so then we're not concerned for the rumor. Now, on this, the Gemara qualifies, which we mentioned that there are those who dispute this on Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Bar Avuni says, Amasla Sha'amr, this that they said that an Amasla will be like a Sheva, will break the rumor, that it'll neutralize the rumor. He says, it's even if it didn't happen at the same time as the rumor, even if the rumor went out that she's engaged, and only, let's say, 10 days later did it come out that, oh, but it was on condition and he didn't fulfill the condition, so therefore she's not engaged, that would work and it would break the rumor. Rav Zvir Amar, he gives another interpretation of this halacha. He says, "B'mokem amasla." If it's a situation which would allow itself for an amasla, chayshin lamasla, then we are concerned for an amasla. In other words, even if there was no amasla, there's no word going out, let's say, that there was a condition attached to it which wasn't fulfilled. Rather, there is an ability and there's room to say that it could be there was an amasla. Then we're concerned as if there was an amasla about this woman, and then the kail is not going to be valid. We don't have to be concerned for it, even if there was no amasla. Now that Eisav of Rav Zvid, or Rav Papa asked Rav Zvid's interpretation from the halacha of our Mishnah, which we just quoted before. Our Mishnah said that we are concerned for a rumor, ubavat shaloi teheshem amasla, as long as there is no amasla. So says Rav Papa, you see from the wording of the Mishnah that you need to have an actual amasla. You're not saying, oh, if there could have been an amasla, if there could have been some type of rationalization, we're not concerned for it. It says, if there is one, then we're not going to be concerned for the kol. How are you saying that even if there is a feasibility of an amasla? So Rav Zvid responds to Rav Papa, no, but makam amasla kama. What the Mishnah means to say is, as long as there won't be the ability of an amasla, there's no ability of giving some type of a rationalization for the rumor, then we're concerned for it. But it doesn't mean that you have to actually have an amasla. Now, actually, the Gemara asks on Rav Papa now. Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rav Papa. Rav Kahana asked Rav Papa, who he was the one who asked on Rav Zvid. And Rav Kahana asked on Rav Papa, Va'at le'tizbra? What, you don't think that's true? You don't think that if there's just an opening to find that there could be an amasla, that we rely on that and we let her get married to someone else, even if we didn't actually hear an actual amasla? But Vatnan, he says, but we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos that seems to indicate that you don't need to have an actual amasla. As long as there's room to entertain an amasla, we would consider it and we wouldn't be concerned for the kol. Because the Mishnah Yevamos is talking about over there when a woman who her husband goes overseas. Then one witness comes and tells her, your husband died. Now, then she went and she was niskatcha. She got engaged to someone else because that's the halacha regarding iguna, that although generally you need two witnesses, but regarding the death of a husband, then we rely on one witness's testimony. So she went and she got engaged to someone else. And then her husband, lo and behold, he wasn't dead. He comes back. Says the Mishnah in Masechet Yevamos, Muteres la'achzar, she's permitted to go back to her first husband. Now, that's regarding if she had only gotten engaged to someone else. Whereas we learned over there in Masechet Yevamos, if she had already gotten married to someone else, then it's what's called Teitzei Mizeh Umizeh. She cannot stay married to the second new husband that she has, and neither can she stay married to her first husband who is not dead and came back. Now, in spite of the fact that she was what's called an anusa, it was something that was beyond her control because actually the courts permitted her to get married to someone else. That's the halacha of iguna. But the reason why we say she has to leave both is because of a chashash, because of a concern. What's the concern? Although halachically when a woman is violated, let's say she was nena, she was raped, so in the Aynah, she's allowed to stay married to her first husband, even though she had relations with another man. This essentially is the same thing, where she was in Aynah, the aide said that he had died, but because of a chashash, we don't let her go back to her first husband. What's the concern? Because we don't want people to say, wait a second, what's going on? Not everyone's privy to what's going on in behind closed doors in the courtroom. All they know is that she was married to a man, then they still get married to someone else, and then they see the first husband come back, and she goes back to him. So what are people going to say? They're going to say, wait a second, must be. The first guy had divorced her, and then she got married to the second person. Now, this guy's coming back, and she's going back to him, even though she was already married to someone else, which is an isser, which is not allowed. That's called machzeh gerushasei la'achar shenisses la'achar, which is forbidden. You're not allowed to remarry an ex-wife if she had already married someone else. So because of that problem, that people are going to say that, we say, okay, so we can't let her go back to her first husband. But regarding the halacha that our Gemara is quoting here from the Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, when she had only gotten engaged to someone else in the interim, there's no concern. Now, and the reason why there's no concern is because she didn't have nisuin, she didn't get married to that other person in the interim. Now, but that's exactly what Rav Kahana is bringing up to Rav Papa and saying that, wait a second, why is it by the halacha when she gets engaged to someone else, is she allowed to go back to that first husband, and she does not need a get from that second husband? But the problem is, there's no greater, quote, yatzah shma be'imu kadeshah, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. That word goes out that she's engaged. We're here, everybody knows that she was engaged to the second husband. She also thought she was engaged. She didn't realize her husband was still alive. She thought he was dead. She got engaged. There's a whole celebration. She's engaged. Not nisuin, just engaged. So the question is, why are we saying she's allowed to go back to her first husband as if nothing happened? Wait a second. you should require a get from that second guy because there's word about her that she got engaged. And you said that when there's word about someone, you gotta really consider that kail, and you gotta get a get. You can't go get married to someone else, even the first husband. So says Rav Kahana to prove to Rav Papa, Lav Mishum, isn't it because over here there is a possible amasla to rely on when she goes back to her first husband? Because Daminan, we would say, meaning what people are going to say, that of course there's some type of a rationalization over here, because we could say Al Tanai Kaddish, the second guy that got engaged to her on condition. I mean, there's no such amasla, but people could entertain such an amasla, which is that he made a condition with her saying, wait a second, if your husband comes back that he divorced, again, no one knows if she's getting married to this other guy because her first husband died or because he divorced her, but what people are going to entertain if they see her go back to her first husband, they're going to say, wait a second, we know she was only engaged to this second man. Must have been that the kedushin he had done with her was on condition that if her husband, who had divorced her overseas, comes back, that then the second guy's kedushin should be batal, and then she could go back to her first husband. And the reason is because really she had a very good relationship to her first husband, who she loved very much. Now, the only reason why, quote, her first husband divorced her, again, this is what people are thinking, is only because he couldn't come because he was overseas. Now that he came back from overseas, people are going to realize that the condition that he had done with her, the ring he gave her, was only on condition. And now that her husband came back, it's that the condition wasn't valid at all. And that's why she can go back to her first husband without getting a get from the second guy, because it wasn't a full-fledged condition, it was on condition. So says Rav Kahana to Rav Papa, so we see that even though there wasn't this amasla, there's no word on the street that this exact scenario that we just described happened, still we could rely on it. So you see, what are you asking Rav Zvid from our Mishnah, which we answered, but what's your problem? Don't you see from the Mishnah Maseches Yevamos that seemingly Rav Zvid is correct? That even if there's no such amasla, but if it's something that we can entertain, we rely on that, and that's why she doesn't require a get from the second guy? So that's the Gemara answer. Rav Papa says, no. Shani Hasam, the Mishnah Maseches Yevamos is different. Because the Asi Baal V'Koma Ar, the husband is coming, and he's protesting. So what people are going to say, they're not going to say the way you just described it and that there's the feasibility of this amasla. Rather, they're going to say that actually the husband had never divorced her. It's just that, which actually this was the story, it's just that she thought he was dead, and therefore she thought he was dead. And one witness had testified, so she got engaged with someone else. That's what they're going to say, that's why it's kedushin and not kedushin, because you can't get engaged with someone else when you're still married to someone else. You just thought he was dead. So that's a literal amasla. That's even more than that. So that's why she can go back to her first husband without getting a get from the second guy. But not because the way you described it, because of a possibility of amasla. No, when the husband comes to protest, people say, hey, I'm alive, what are you doing? So then, oh my, she's going to go back to him. That's why you don't require a get from the second one, because his condition wasn't valid at all. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if it's just the way you described it, Rav Papa, to explain that Mishnah Maseches Yevamos, that people would not entertain to say that the first guy had divorced her, and that's why she got, and then when she got married to the second guy, that it would turn out that she's an ish that is leaving without a get from the second guy. So the question is, then nisus nami. Then why did we learn over there in the Mishnah Maseches Yevamos that when she gets married to a second guy, not just engaged, up until now we were describing the case that when she got engaged to someone else, then she could go back to her first husband, doesn't even need a get from him. Which you, Rav Papa, you're explaining is because, no, people are not thinking that he divorced her and then the second guy only made a kedushin al tanai, that if the first guy doesn't come back, then it's not going to be a kedushin. No, it's that people are going to know that she thought he was dead. And when he comes back, he wasn't dead, and therefore the second guy's kedushin wasn't valid at all. And because they're not entertaining that there was a divorce in the second guy's kedushin. So then, on that, the Gemara asks, then why is it that over there, regarding when she gets married to the other guy, because she thought her husband was dead, we said that then she needs a get from the second guy and she can't go back to marry her first husband. But why? Her husband is here, and we know that there was no quote nisuin to the second guy, because everyone knows that it was only based on the premise of because the first husband was dead, and he's not dead. When a woman is married to a man, she can't get married to someone else. So rather, says Rav Kahana, seemingly, obviously you have to say, is because people are going to say that the first husband had divorced her and then she got married to this other guy, as the Gemara explains in Maseches Yevamos. Now, whereas by Nisuin, there is no ability to create an amasla to say that, like the way Rav Kana was trying to prove in the Mishnah Maseches Yevamos, that it was al tanai, because you can't get married al tanai. Kedushin you could do al tanai because all you're doing is giving the woman is a ring. So you could say, I'm giving it to you on condition, if this is fulfilled, then we're engaged. If not, it's just a gift. But by marriage, you can't, because marriage is consummated relationship with Bia, and you can't have a Bia on condition. It's only if you could only have relations with a married woman. Can't be on condition. So therefore, it says Rav Kana, seemingly it's like me, not the way you're answering. It must be that it's even though there's only the makom of a masla. And the reason is by kedushin there is a place for a masla, and by nisuin there's not. But according to you, what's the difference between nisuin and kedushin? If you're saying that people are not entertained that she was engaged, that she was divorced from their first husband, rather that they know that they just thought he was dead and it turns out he's alive, then why even if she gets married to a second guy, can't she go back to her first husband? So that the Gemara, Papa answers, he says, no, it is like I said. It's only, they're not thinking that the first one divorced, the way you described this whole scenario, and therefore you need to come out to Makma Masla. No. They thought he was dead, now he's alive. So really she was a married woman. And that's why, by the case of a Kedushin, she can go back to him without even getting a get from the second guy. But by Nisus, the Avdi Isura, but when she got married to someone else after she thought he was dead, where it turns out she ended up doing a violation. The violation is she was really a married woman and she had bia with another man, which the Isra Eishes is, their Kansura Banan. That's the reason why she can't go back to her first husband. It's not because of rumors, it's because it's a rabbinic penalty. Because as Rashi explains, the whole reason why the rabbis permitted her, which is a leniency, you usually need to have two witnesses to verify a fact. This, that we permitted a married woman to get married to another man based on the testimony of one witness that her husband's dead, is because of what's called iguna. We don't want a woman to be stuck because it's very hard to have two witnesses to verify someone's death, so we permitted it with one witness. But part of that equation is that she is partly responsible to make sure and verify by people coming and going to make sure that to put all the dots together to really make sure that he was dead, and then she can get married. Now, where she didn't properly check, obviously, because it turns out he's really alive, then we penalize her, as the Gemara says over there, in Yevamos Pechesim and Aleph, that because of the stringency you apply to her at the end, where if you're making a mistake, you're going to be stuck. You're not going to be able to be with your new husband or your old husband. So then he called to Lebetchila, so that's what allowed us to be lenient with her in the beginning, even with testimony of one witness, because we know she's going to really make sure. But here, where she didn't make sure and she violated an Isser, so that's where we penalized, and that's why she can't go back to her first husband. Niskacha de la Avdi Isura, when all she had was a kedushin from another man, where it's okay if a man gives her a ring as a gift, no violation was done. Look at Rabbanan, there the rabbis didn't penalize her, and that's why there's a difference. But not because, like you're describing, because by kedushin there's a makam for a masla, and Isurin there's no makam for a masla. No, there's no raya. You could say that really you need to have a namasla mamish. But, which would, the simple translation of our Mishnah actually sounds like that, not like Rav Zvid. But, however, by Nisuin is because of a Knas, because she had Bia with another man when she was really a married woman, because her husband was still alive, which we only found out later. Now the Gemara moves on to another qualification of this halacha. Amrav Ashi says, Kol kala de l'ischazik bebei dina, any rumor that was not verified in a court, in other words, the courts did not check into it to make sure that it's not just a echo, so to speak, like a rumor. Lav kalahu, again, that doesn't have the halachic validity of a rumor unless if the courts of the city heard that this was the rumor, again, like we described before, where that person heard from that person, from that person, and then they were concerned that then we have to be, because that sounds like a substantive type of a rumor, for that type of a rumor, we'd have to be concerned and then have all the halachic stringencies of our Mishnah. But if they didn't check into it, then it's not even the rumor yet. Now another qualification, Vam Rav Ashi, which we mentioned this on Amud Aleph, he says, Kol kala de basa nisuin, any rumor that comes about after nisuin, which we mentioned this in the previous daf, where if let's say that she got married today, and then afterwards at a later point in time, a rumor goes out that actually today before she got married, she actually had gotten engaged to someone else, says Rav Ashi, since the rumor only started, even though it's a rumor that something actually was beforehand, but it only started after she was married, then we're not concerned for it to make her forbidden on her husband, and that we don't require her to get a get from the purported husband who allegedly had gotten engaged to her beforehand. Now, although we said up until now, we're seemingly if it's a valid rumor, which this could be a valid rumor, then we are concerned for it. So that's Rav Ashi's qualifying. That's only if she's a single woman. then we have to be concerned for it because of what people are going to say. But if she's already married, that's what Rav Ashi is saying, if we're going to require her to get a get from this first husband, actually what that's going to end up really doing is making her forbidden to the husband she really ended up marrying. Because we're substantiating the rumor now by requiring her to get from this first guy, that's going to turn out that when she got married to this other guy on that same day later on, she was actually having bia as a married woman because she was already engaged to someone else before she got married to him. Which the halacha tells us that just like she's forbidden to her husband if she had bia with another man, she's actually forbidden to the baal too. So since it's just a rumor and we're really not concerned halacha for the rumor, it's only what people are going to say, she's already married to Rav Ashi, then we don't consider the rumors. Because if we did, we'd actually be making her forbidden to the husband that she married to. Now, a diuk that the Gemara makes from Rav Ashi's statement is, hadabasa erisin, but it sounds like if she only got engaged to someone else, and then there's a rumor that before she got engaged to him, she was engaged to someone else beforehand on that same day, then cheshinela. Then we would be concerned for that, and then we would require that, quote, the first guy to divorce her, and then she would be able to get married to the second guy. Because here there's no isser. It wouldn't be any problems if she was already engaged, and then she got engaged to the second guy, because she didn't have bia as an Eishes Ish. All she got was a kedushin, where she got a ring. Fine, go ahead. That's not a problem. Let another man give you a ring. So therefore, in such a situation, Rav Ashi made it sound like then we would be concerned for it, and we would require a get from that purported first guy. Now, however, Rav Chaviva Amar, he disagrees on that point. He says, "Afil debasa erisin nami lechashin lai." If she only even got engaged to a man, and then the rumor comes out that she actually was engaged to someone else earlier that date, we don't have to be concerned for that rumor. And we don't require a get from that first guy. Now the reason is because we don't want her to become repulsive to her husband. You mean to say you were engaged to someone else beforehand? And now the rabbis are requiring you to get a get from him? I don't want anything to do with you. That might create some type of a strain on the relationship. And therefore, if she's already engaged, we're not going to go so far to be concerned for the rumors. And we would not require a get from the first guy. And the Gemara says, yeah, like Rav Chaviva, even if all she is engaged, and then the rumor is that she was engaged to someone else beforehand, we don't have to be concerned for that. It's only if she's single, then okay, then we require to be concerned for those rumors. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, he says, Sholchu lehi mibei Rav l'Shmuel, they had sent from the yeshiva of Rav to Shmuel the following question. They said, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, let our teacher teach us. Yotza lau kol mirishin, similar to the case we were discussing before. If let's say there's a rumor comes out regarding a first guy that she's engaged to. Now, so the rumor is out that she's engaged to this guy. Then somebody else comes along and does a full-fledged biblical kedushin with witnesses and gets engaged to her. So in front of two witnesses, he goes and gives her a ring. Maho, what's halacha in such a situation? Where again, there's already a rumor from a first guy, but all it is was a rumor. Now, someone else goes and does a valid kedushin. What's the halacha? So Shalach Lehu, he sent to the people that asked him the question, he says, so Teite, so she has to leave the second guy, again, because of the rumor that she was already engaged to a first guy. But, v'hamidu hadava al borei, but you should clarify and verify the rumor. In other words, you should check into the rumor to make sure the rumor is true. In other words, to see if it's really true or false. And v'haydi'uni, and let me know regarding what actually was the reality. Now, the Gemara asks, my v'hamidu hadava al borei, what was Shmuel telling them when he said that, clarify, make sure regarding it, why did he require them to look into the rumor? What was the purpose of that? So the Gemara entertains, if the reason why Shmuel was telling him, well, for, you know, she can't stay married to the second guy because maybe she's really engaged to a first guy, but just check it out, because why would you check it out? Because maybe it's going to be revealed that the first kedushin was really not a kedushin. Maybe it was just made up, that rumor. And therefore, what would happen then? Mavatli Nikola, and then we would nullify the rumor, and then we actually would let her get married to that, to be engaged to that second guy, if that's what Shmuel was saying. But how can you say that? Because Vahanarda Astrid Shmuel, who Narda was the city of Shmuel, V'loy Mavatli Kala, as we said in Amet Aleph, that in Narda they don't nullify rumors. Even if we find out that it was false, but if that was the rumor, we have to go with that, and we have to go with the stringencies to it. So what would be the point of verifying it? If there is a rumor, so then we have to go with that rumor. We can't let her stay engaged to the first guy. She would have to first get a gerushin, let's say, from the first guy. So what's the point of verification? So the Gemara says, you're right. The point of verification was not that way, but actually the other way around. El di'i magalia milsa di gedusha kama gedusha ma'alyaninu. Actually, if we find out the other way around, that actually turns out that the rumor wasn't just a rumor. We find out that it was fact. It was true that she had already been engaged to this first guy. Then the halachic significance is, then lo yitzricha get misheni. Check it out, because then she won't even need a get from the second guy. Because if it's just a rumor, you would need a get from the second guy too, because maybe she was not engaged. And if she wasn't engaged, then she is engaged to the second guy, so she wouldn't be able to say married to him, but she would at least need a get. But if you find that if the first condition was a condition, then you won't even need a get from the second guy, because it turns out she was already engaged to someone else. You cannot get engaged to someone else to require a get if you're already engaged to the first guy. Now the Gemara tells us, but upligid Rav Huna. This halacha of Shmuel disputes the halacha of Rav Huna, because the Amr Rav Huna, he said, Eishes ish, a married woman, shepashtu yadu v'kibla kedusha mi'achen, she stretches out her hand. She's a married woman, she has a ring on her hand, and she accepts a ring from another man to get engaged to him. Says Rav Huna, mikudashes. Now obviously she can't be mikudashes because she's already married to someone else. What it means to say is that on some level we consider engaged to the second guy, that she would have to get a get from that second guy. Why does Rav Huna say this? He says, Midrav Amnuna. He proved this from Rav Amnuna's halacha. Because the Amr Rav Amnuna, he says, Ha'isha sha'amala bala gerish tami. If a woman tells her husband, says, you divorced me. Says Rav Amnuna, nemenes, she's believed. Why? Who said? Chazaka, there's a chazaka, that ain isha me'iza poneha b'fnei bala. A woman would not have the audacity to just tell her husband a straight out lie. And if she is, we actually believe her. Because we would presume that she wouldn't say such a thing. So says Rav Huna, you see from Rav Amnun's halacha, that if a woman is stretching out her hand to get engaged from someone else, she's essentially saying, I'm not married to my husband, and she wouldn't have the audacity to say she's not married to him, and she's essentially saying, I'm already divorced. So although she has the ring, let's say she kept on to it, so she can get engaged to another person, requiring a get from him. Now, v'idach, but Shmuel, who he said that, no, first clarify. In other words, because he said that actually if we find out that she is engaged to the first guy, you would not need a get from the second guy, which is obviously disputing this halacha of Rav Huna. He says no. He says, Ki et med Rav Amnuna. When did we learn this halacha of Rav Amnuna? Is only befun of. Is only into her husband's face, where she tells him straight to him, you divorced me. Where no woman would have the audacity to have such a straight out lie to her husband. But regarding the case of Rav Huna, when she's just stretching out her hand and getting kedushin from another man, which is shalei b'fanav, that's not in front of her husband's face, me'iza, yeah, a woman would have the audacity, she's hanging out with another guy, make him believe she's not married, she would go ahead and receive kedushin from another man. And therefore it says Shmuel, that's not comparable to Rav Nun's halacha, and therefore Rav Huna's halacha, he disputes and he disagrees with, and he holds that if she was mekudeshes to her first guy, she would not need a get from the second guy, because we know she's engaged, and that's why his halacha was clarified, because if she was engaged, you wouldn't need a get. And he disputes Rav Huna, who says you would need, because it's not true. A woman wouldn't have the audacity in front of her husband, but not. Of course she would say, oh yeah, I'm single. She would hide that fact, and therefore the fact that she got kedushin wouldn't be any have halachic validity, because she's a married woman and she can't get kedushin to require a get from another person. Now, however, the Gemara does wonder, loy matzu dava al bor yamahu, but what is the halacha of, let's say they don't clarify it. We don't end up finding out. It's hard to verify that rumor. We don't find out if she really was engaged to a first guy or not. What's the halacha now? So Amr Rav Huna, he says what you have to do is as follows. Migarish Rishon, the first guy, this purported guy, who we don't end up finding out clearly if she was really engaged to him or not, has to give a Gerishon, like Shmuel said, because we have to be concerned for the rumor. And then, then if she wants to, she can get married to the second guy. But again, you have to be concerned for the rumor. Al Migarish Sheni, V'noisi Rishon Loi. But he says, for the second guy to divorce her, and then to marry this first guy who the rumor was that she was engaged to him, that you can't do. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because Aslamima, people are going to come to say, Machze Girishasai Mina Erasin, that this guy is remarrying a woman that he divorced who subsequently married someone else after he had divorced her from Erasin. Because people are going to say, wait a second. Must have been, because we know there was a rumor that this guy was engaged to her, that we must have been that he had divorced her, and this other guy got engaged to her, and now, although she was already engaged to someone else, he's going and remarrying her, which is forbidden. You can't be machzik rishasai, even if it's from Erison. So in such a situation, since the second guy we know for sure got engaged to her, she wouldn't be able to divorce him and go back to the first guy. Because again, even if let's say she wasn't, but people consider the rumor that she was engaged, and they're going to say that it's machzik rishasai. Now Rav Shinna Bereder of Idiyama, he disputes this, and he says no. Not only could you, quote, the first guy divorce her and she could marry the second guy, the second guy, who we know for sure did a kedushin, could divorce her and she could marry the first one. Because he says, no, people are going to say, again, which that's the primary concern, what people are going to say, is Ainu Rabbanu b'kedusha. They're going to say there must be people that the rabbis had looked into the kedushin of the second guy and they realized the Kedusha Toysava, that it was a mistaken, erroneous Kedusha, and it wasn't even Kedusha in the first place. Because it really turns out, as we know from the rumor, that she was already engaged to the first guy. And they're not going to say, according to this interpretation, that, oh, must have been that she was engaged, but that he had divorced her, and then the second guy got engaged, and now he's taking back Grisha. So they're going to say, no. The rabbis found out that this second guy didn't know the rumor, and didn't realize that she was engaged to the first guy, and she never had married him in the first place. Because Rashi adds on, because not everybody knows that we require a get from the second guy. If we required a get, then that rumor wouldn't work, and then people actually would be concerned as Machzik Rishasa, because if she was never engaged to the second guy, why do you need a get? So since not everybody knows that we require a get, so the word on the street is going to be that, it must have been that they found that it was Kedushi Tois, and they're not going to say it's Machzik Rishasa, since there's no problem what people are going to say in this case. He holds that even the second guy could divorce her, and the first guy just take her back. A similar type of a dispute, but even more than this, the Gemara tells us, if let's say Yatzel Lea Koil Mizeh, if let's say there's a rumor regarding one man that she's engaged to. After it's rumored that she's engaged to this guy, then Umizeh. Then there's a rumor that she's engaged to a second guy. Again, not like the previous case where we knew by the second guy for sure he had done the Kiddushi Torah in front of witnesses. Rather, there was a rumor with a first guy. And then after that is rumored with the first guy, there's a second rumor that she's engaged to another guy. Maho, what's Halacha in that situation? So Amar Papa, Papa says, Apsu, this case also is only Megarish Rishain V'Naisi Sheni. You could only have that the first guy divorce her and the second guy marry her, and not that the second guy divorce her and then she marries the first guy. Because actually he's very stringent on Papa, and he says, because even though it's only a rumor, even regarding the second guy's Kedushin, still would concern that people shouldn't say that must be, since we consider the rumors as valid, the people at least consider it. So they're going to say, we know that she was engaged to this first guy based on the rumor. Must have been he had divorced her. And then we knew based on the rumor she was engaged to the second guy. And then if we let her go back to the first guy, people are going to say, so it's Machzik Rishasa, Misha Nisarsa, which is a problem. So says Rav Papa, even in that case, we don't let her go back to the first guy. But Amei Mamar, he disputes this and he says, no, Muteris Lishneim. She's permitted to both of them. In other words, you could do either or. Either the second guy divorce and go back to the first one, the first guy divorce and go to the second one. And as Gemara continues at the top of Tzadim and Aleph, the Hilchasa Muteris Lishneim. And the Halacha is like a Meimer that she's permitted to both of them. In other words, even for the second guy to divorce her and the first guy marry her, whereas Rashi explains, because what a Meimer is telling us that even Rav Huna would agree in this case that she would be permitted to both, because in the previous case, was at least by the second one, was we knew for sure she was engaged to him. There is where Rav Huna considered that as a problem. But here, where they're both only rumors, so there, we're not going to be concerned that people are going to say, must have been that she was engaged, and then engaged to the second guy, and the first guy is taking her back, and that's Machzik Rishasa. So that Meimer, where both of them are only rumors, they were not concerned for that, and everyone would agree in that situation, that you could even have the second guy divorce her, and she could go back to the first guy, and therefore, Materis Lashneim, she can go ahead and marry either one of them.